Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news of the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Monday, the 18th of May, 2026. Some Sweetgrass County residents were evacuated as fire crews worked to contain the gray fire burning timber and grass near Gray Cliff along Interstate 90 in south central Montana over the weekend. The fire started Thursday afternoon. It spread quickly due to high winds. Fire behavior still remains moderate, limited spotting and tree torching. County officials report smoke is still visible over the next few days, especially due to the fire's closeness to I-90. As of this morning, Monday, the gray fire is 75% contained. The cause remains unknown. Grizzly bear biologists will begin 3 months of scientific bear capture operations in the Custer-Gallatin National Forest the last week of May. YPR's Kay Erickson has the details.
The capture efforts are required under the Endangered Species Act to monitor the grizzly bear population and the Yellowstone ecosystem. Biologists with the Grizzly Bear Study Team will conduct the capture operations within the north central and northeast portion of the Custer-Gallatin National Forest and private lands south of Interstate 90. Capture operations can include a variety of activities, but all areas where that work is conducted will have bright warning signs posted at all major access points to the capture site. Forest officials remind the public that it is important that everyone heed these signs and do not venture into an area that has been posted. The study team will begin with field capture on May 25th and continue through August 28th. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis is commuting the sentence of a former county clerk and election conspiracy theorist following pressure from President Donald Trump. The announcement Friday stated that Tina Peters will be released on June 1st. The former Mesa County clerk had been serving a 9-year state prison sentence. Peters was convicted in a scheme to make a copy of her county's election computer system in 2021. Since returning to office, the Trump administration has cut funding to Colorado as the president pressured the Democratic governor to free Peters. Wyoming wildlife managers plan to cut wolf hunting by 50% after a canine distemper outbreak reduced wolf numbers to their lowest in two decades. The new 22 wolf cap would be the fewest allowed since hunting began after Endangered Species Act protections were lifted in 2012. Last year, hunters could target 44 wolves. The state aims to increase the population in the trophy game area. At the beginning of 2026, officials tallied 253 wolves and 14 breeding pairs statewide. Those are decreases from the 330 wolves and 24 breeding pairs estimated at the end of 2024. Public meetings about the hunting proposals are scheduled with final decisions expected in July. A federal judge in Montana has ordered the release of Roberto Orozco Ramirez, a diesel mechanic, detained for over 100 days on immigration charges. The Great Falls judge ruled his detention was unlawful, criticizing the Trump administration's interpretation of immigration law. Orozco Ramirez, an undocumented immigrant, was arrested in January and faced charges of illegal reentry, which were later dropped. His release follows a legal battle supported by his small community in Freud in northeast Montana. Residents raised funds for his defense, highlighting his positive impact on the town. The case has drawn attention to immigration policies and sparked discussions on social media. Randy Tanner, a lawyer for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Montana, who represented various law enforcement and federal agencies in court, said his office was reviewing the judge's order but did not comment on the ruling. Tariffs issued under an emergency declaration last May disrupted Montana businesses' relationships with foreign partners. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler reports a year later they're still causing wide-scale uncertainty.
Tariffs enacted by President Donald Trump have been ruled an overreach of power. As the fallout spurs further economic uncertainty, more than $160 billion in tariffs is due in refunds to businesses and taxpayers. Head of Montana World Trade Center, Brigitta Miranda Freer, says despite the court rulings on tariffs, the effects remain.
It's kind of the same net effect for businesses, right? It's constant change in trying to field whatever the latest policy tool is, right? It's just constant change.
Montana's global exports fell 13% between 2024 and 2025, the first decline in 5 years. At a recent Montana World Trade Center conference, industry experts and stakeholders re-emphasized foreign sub-national relationships as vital to withstanding tariff turbulence. Representatives from dominant state industries like critical minerals, manufacturing, and agriculture iterated that cross-border investments can still happen. A Canadian consul even spoke, affirming Canada's interest in maintaining relationships with Montana businesses. Governor Greg Gianforte says the state has a place in the global market. He noted that 35% of his software company's revenue came from outside the U.S. last year.
These are good trading partners for us. Whether it's energy or technology or agricultural products, Montana is part of a global economy, and we need to be expanding those relationships.
U.S. tariff policy has changed more than 50 times since President Trump took office. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Since 2020, city centers of many major U.S. metro areas have had sluggish population gains, with some places even declining. But where growth did occur, it was mostly on the outer edges of these metro areas, with some exceptions. The Census Bureau's vintage 2025 population estimates for cities and towns, released last week, explored where population losses and gains happened within metro areas. The Census Bureau selected a major metro area in the four regions, South, Northeast, Midwest, and West, and analyzed how the populations have shifted during the first half of this decade. Within each metro area, the Census Bureau looked at the percentage change in population between April 1st of 2020 and July 1st of 2025 in incorporated places with at least 20,000 people in 2025. Some trends, such as the growth of exurbs, can shape populations in strikingly similar fashion in places hundreds or thousands of miles apart. The four metro areas ranged in population from 3.8 million to 20 million. They exemplify a variety of demographic and geographic characteristics. Dallas-Fort Worth, Arlington, Texas, New York, Newark, Jersey City, New York, New Jersey, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomington, covering Minneapolis and Wisconsin, and in the Northwest, Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue in Washington. Analyzing population change in each confirmed growth farther from the center of metro areas was a dominant but not universal trend. All four metro areas had overall population gains ranging from as little as 0.1% in New York to as much as 11% in Dallas. But Seattle was the only one that experienced growth in its city center and inner suburbs. The others' gains were fueled by exurban growth. That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.